our monk deacon is sick, so like a lot of other people, Father will be wearing his mask from now till Christmas, so that's all there is to it. I feel like Darth Vader wearing this thing, N95 mask. You ever seen these things? I thought I had it bad during COVID. Oh my gosh. Anyway, I told this story wrong last night because it was so funny. Believe it or not, you all have never heard this except if you go to daily mass. I actually have something new here. Last year, I went to Los Angeles twice. Once was for a funeral of my former novice master, actually, who later became abbot. And I think I mentioned about 5,000 people showed up at this funeral in Palmdale for a monk, of all people. And then the second time was for my 50th high school reunion, and which was kind of a dud. All the other ones were good, but this one, nobody showed up that I knew. So it was sort of a little bit annoying, except we all looked, well, we all looked the same age, old. At the 40th, some of them were fairly well preserved, but, you know, we all kind of evened out, like all things in life. You know how it is when some kids grow up a little faster, and then you come back at the 10th, and we all, you know, it's kind of fun to see who, well, never, I'm not going to go into that. That's, I have to go to confession. I don't look that great either. So anyway, during that thing, I had a chance to see a lot of friends. I went to another monk's funeral that just happened to die while I was there, and it meant a lot to me. God blessed me so much. But I had these friends in Ladera Heights, if anybody knows where that is, and they were redoing the bathroom. So she put me up in a place called Marycrest Manor. It's in Baldwin Hills, and she works there. She's my age, and she's worked there for decades. That's where I had my first job in high school, ferrying some lady around. Mrs. Kettering was her name. I took my mother's car. She had a 63 Galaxy 500, and when I got the Vega, yeah, if only we kept it. We had all the best cars and sold them all at the bottom of the market. So my dad knew how to buy cars and never knew when to sell them. But anyway, when I got my Vega, she fired me because she couldn't get out of it. I couldn't get out of it now either, but in those days I could. So I was there, and thinking about all those happy memories, really, of going up this place. It's way up in the hills. And it's filled with Carmelite nuns. They're all older. It's a place for nuns that have spent their life in you know, religious life, and they need some care, varying degrees of care. And so there were about 30 or 40 of them there. I celebrated Mass twice for them. That was my rent, you know, to pay Mass for them twice. I stayed there 2 days. And the saint that came up, the reason I told that story is the saint of the day is the one I have the most trouble with, Saint Rose of Lima. And she is, I've been saying the Divine Office since 1976. It was in Latin up to 1971, so I've been saying it pretty much since it came out. And I've been reading her, Rose of Lima's, remarks in this book for 50 years. This is what she said. I told these nuns, I'm looking at all these holy-looking nuns out there. I'm thinking, I got the worst saint. I can't stand this saint, and here I am preaching to these nuns about her. And what she says is, if only people... I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. If only people could understand the scales on which God weighs our crosses when he gives them to us, we would beg God for more of them. How many of you are begging God for more crosses? Is there anybody here that does this? I thought at least, no. I'm looking for something that looks holy. No, no. I'm not looking in the mirror, man. I just tell God, when I read that reading, I get so mad. I think, Lord, just give me the grace to handle what you're giving me. It's so presumptuous to ask for more. I mean, that was her charism, you know? That's why she's a saint. And the kicker is, I just said, look, I don't like this reading. I know you all read the same one I did because you pray the Divine Office. I said, I've never liked that reading. And I told them just what I said to you. And I said, how many of you sisters you all look so holy. They thought that was a little bit funny, but they did look holy to me, all the habits and everything. How many of you have asked for more crosses in your life? They started busting up laughing. I said, oh, good. I said, I don't like her either. Most of them said they didn't care for St. Rose of Lima because of that reading. But actually, you know, it's true, though. From where we will be for eternity, our crosses will probably be the things we will treasure the most, because that's where we do the most growing. And nobody wants one. We do our best to get away from them rather than going toward them. But look at what Christ gives us as an example, though. He had the worst death in the Roman Empire. It was so bad that in the early church, although St. Paul talked a lot about the cross, when you went into what we now call Mass, and it would look just basically like what we do now, you read St. Justin Martyr from the end of the first century, what he describes them worshiping is you would recognize it. And so, but they did not have an image of even a bare cross, let alone one with a corpus on it. The bare cross came later. They were still seeing crucifixions in those days, and they saw how bad it was. Only after several centuries, a century after Constantine illegalized crucifixion, did we begin to see corpses when people had forgotten how it was. And that's very sanitized. You go to Mexico, you'll see that the corpses are much more graphic and perhaps realistic. So that being said, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and this is not a Good Friday homily, he gives us another example, and not St. Rose of Lima's example, the one that I think we can relate to. He alone knew what was coming and every pain he would endure, bearing the sins of the entire humanity and up to the last day that we walk the earth. And knowing and feeling the pain in advance, he said, Father, take this cup away from me. Three times he said that. He said, I'm paraphrasing, you can do anything. We talked about this before I came to earth. I know there's another way. Father, take this cup away from me. So then he finishes it with, this is the hard part, thy will be done. When I pray like that, I say, Lord, take this cup away from me, but thy will be done. You know, Jesus told us it's okay to ask for relief. It's okay to ask for another cross or to have a less one. He himself did that in his humanity. He gave us an example three times. So that's why I don't quite get St. Rose of Lima. But she had the right idea, though. Our crosses are what we've shared with God for all eternity. The Imitation of Christ has a really good line in it. He's basically writing to monks, but so much of it relates to our own world. It's kind of ironic. I almost never talk about monks in here. The one that was supposed to be here is sick, so I was going to turn around and look at him like you know me, but now I can't look at him. I'm going to make him listen to this homily never mind. They don't have TVs. He said, speaking to monks that want to go somewhere else because they don't like the monastery they're in or the cross that they're bearing, and I can understand this since I felt that way myself when I was in one, he said, try as you might, if you should succeed in finding that other place you're looking for, and he said, many have been deceived by a change of place because we come with it. But he said, if you should succeed in shedding the cross that you're bearing, you're likely to find one that's even heavier when you get there. And so the thing is that God knows what he's doing, and there's times when I hate to admit this, but we do most of our growth when we're being challenged. Most of our exercise growth occurs when we are putting up resistance is increasing. Otherwise, we're staying the same. I'd like to just stay the same at this point, you know? But Christ offers us a cross, and many are voluntary. Christ's was voluntary. He did not have to say yes to that. I do not know why it was necessary for him to suffer as much as he did. I know it was for our salvation. He himself said, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Speaking of that first reading from Exodus. But all that gratuitous suffering, why was that necessary? As a priest, I wonder. But then I see a lot of you all and people who are no longer here, 21 years here, I've seen a lot, and I don't understand. I don't think any of us fully understand. But one thing that we can see is that the cross, or whatever we're going through, if it's out of love, it's for him. And I think our Lord wants us to share something with him while we're on earth. Our life is much briefer than we think it is. You know, my mother told me my grandmother raised me when I was 26 or 27 when she was dying. And she said, you don't understand this now, but life goes a lot faster than you think it will. And I'm thinking, I'm 27, I'm thinking, oh, I just want to turn 30. Well, that's what I thought at the time. Don't you remember thinking that? I can be a little older. I don't say that anymore, you know. I like the age I'm at, and I want to stay. Well, there's only one way to stay there, and I don't want that either. So, when I was young, I was discerning my vocation. When I was 16, sitting in this, where are you, chemistry class. My favorite story, the chemistry teacher out here, I got a glare at you. I had you for a teacher, I wouldn't have been a priest. These guys never cracked a smile. I was using a slide rule and getting a D- for showing up. I was a straight-A student getting a D-, wanting to be a doctor, and I thought, I got to find another way to make a living because this ain't working out. And I looked out the window, and I'd been thinking about it, and I thought, I'm going to go to Plan B and be a priest. I remember that day and that moment. Many of you may remember when you had caught that vision. You may not have made it, but you had this vision for your life. So we're at the 50th reunion. We went right by that classroom. They said, oh, there's our old chemistry classroom. I thought, oh, brother, that's where it was. And after that, I didn't know what to do. Diocesan priest, religious life, I didn't know. You're in high school. What do you know? So I went to Loyola Marymount University, which was actually in the same city, and so on, and kind of played the field and ended up kind of falling in love with the rule of St. Benedict. But in the process, as I would drive around the Southland, they had all these white crosses all over the hills. I'm sure they're all gone now, the way the country's gone. You know, they probably got sued out of existence. But at the time, they were all up there, and maybe about 10 of them. And I climbed every hill, and some were pretty tough. And I just thought it was so romantic, those white crosses. The cross is romantic from a distance, but when we get there, it isn't much fun. But if we can share something with Christ, we have really lived. Christ wants us to understand some part of his eternal existence. You and I are all facets of a diamond. All of us reflect God in a different way. None of us are Christ. We can't go through what he did, but he may offer us something so that we can understand him. It often takes the form of somebody in our family that's ill, or we care about someone, or it's a cause that we really feel strongly about that he did, which involves other people. And those people are always Christ. What I love about the priesthood, and what I would like to just do alone, would be that everything I do almost is a corporal work of mercy. And Christ said that's what pleases the most. That's one thing that attracted me to this life in the first place. And you have the same opportunity I do. I have more opportunities, so I have more responsibility. But every one of these things helps us to understand him for all eternity. And if we spent our whole life on a cruise boat, I know a lot of us would love to do that. I think I'd be very happy if God left me alone on some beach or something. But what would we know about God? What would we understand about his life? What would we have to talk about? Lord, you know, I'm so glad to meet you, but, you know, every time you offered me a cross, I ran away from it. And because I had the resources, I managed to escape all of them. Say, well, he'll say, I love you. Have a good day. What would we have to talk about? I'll finish with what St. Bernadette, I told this, I'll tell you at this Mass too. When this altar was consecrated, you know, we had a relic in the old altar. And I was told it was St. Edward, but those who knew were already passed away. Father Reedy and Blackburn, and Father Taff was here, but I don't think he knew. And no, he was dead too, I think, by then. Wasn't he? I don't know. Anyway, nobody knew for sure this was St. Edward. And the bishop said, we would like to put another relic in the altar. So I said, well, let's make it a female, because I think we got St. Edward in there. So they gave me a choice of Bernadette of Lourdes and St. Clair. And they're both such good friends of mine. I could go on and on. I love those two saints dearly. It was the hardest choice in the world, but we had already had the podcasting and stuff, and I thought, you know, they were putting a television camera in, though I didn't know, you know, HD camera, and I thought, she's the patron of television, I'm going to go with her, and so that's why she's here. But St. Bernadette suffered from consumption, the same as Thérèse of Lisieux, and when she was very sick and was beginning to die, somebody said, you've suffered a lot, haven't you? And she said two things. She said, well, what did you expect? Our Lady said, I do not promise you happiness on earth, but only in heaven. And then she also said something that I think is really important. I always get this wrong. To suffer passes. To have suffered remains forever. Isn't that wonderful? It makes sense of a lot of things, because life is short, no matter how long we go through. I've seen some awful things as a priest and some wonderful things, but to suffer passes, it ends. But to have suffered, especially for someone else, with someone else, or for someone else, that suffering remains forever, just like his.